Love me. I don't know about y'all. Maybe you're better people than I am. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am. I preached this morning on the radio and I talked about sin and how sin is almost innate in us and that we are all sinners. And I want to say to you this morning, you may think that you are without sin, but let me be clear. The Bible says that the man that says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him, because there is none righteous, no, not one. There's only ever been one man that lived without sin, and that was the God man, Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. I feel, Brother Dustin, sometimes like Paul when I think about my past, when Paul said, not only am I a sinner, but I'm the worst there ever was. The chief. I can relate. It's not just that I was wicked. It's that I was so much more wicked than I had to be. And his love overcame all that. Behold. Behold. In the first two verses of this chapter, I'm going to preach most of the chapter here, but in the first two verses of this chapter, John marvels at the love of God. John marvels at how much God loves us. So how much does he love us? He loves us more. He loves us more than his own comfort. What do you think about that? When Jesus came to this earth, he gave up for a space of 33 years the comforts of eternal glory. He loves us that much. How much does he love us, preacher? He loves us so much that he was willing to reach down further than we could reach up. John marvels at his love. He marvels at what he has done for us, that we should be called the sons of God. Can I tell you something, church? I'm just getting into it this morning. Y'all have to stay with me. Let me tell you this. I'm not going to be saved. I'm not waiting to be saved. I'm not preparing to be saved. I am saved. I'm as much as in heaven as if I was already there. My eternal destination is signed, sealed, and delivered this morning. Are you listening to me? The Holy Ghost of God has been sealed upon my soul as an earnest of my redemption, a deposit on what is to come. It's done. I'm saved. I am his son. I am in the family of God. I've been adopted. I'm getting happy this morning. I've been engrafted in. I'm not putting in an application, praise God. There ain't no more paperwork to go through. I've been engrafted in, the Bible says, like a wild olive branch. I'm stuck, amen. I'm a part of the tree now. I'm a part of the family. Hey, listen to me. I'm talking about what he's already done. Amen. My sins are gone. That's what the old songwriters used to say. The Bible says that he has hidden them behind his back. Remove them as far as the east is from the west. See, why did he say it like that, preacher? Because you take a globe and put your finger on it and start going north. And eventually you'll go far enough north that you'll have to start going south. But you'll never go so far east that you've got to start going west. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Hallelujah. Hey, God knows stuff, don't he? Amen. Hey, listen, he's done that already. Then look what he does. He praises him for what he's going to do. Look what he says in verse number 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. That's amazing. I may not even get to my message. I may just preach this. That's amazing. Are you listening to me? Now we are the sons. I'm his son right now. But how can there be a but after that? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Can I tell you this? God's done an awful lot for me right now, but it ain't nothing compared to what's coming. John praises the Lord for what he's done, and he praises the Lord for what he's going to do. Hey, listen, can I tell you something this morning? Jesus is coming. Jesus is, I like the way the old song goes, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon, many shall meet their doom, trumpets will sound, even the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Can I tell you something? It's coming. Hey, listen to me. And if I don't go by way of the rapture, I'll go by way of the grave. Either way, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What I've got now is amazing. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. It's miraculous. It's more than I deserve, but it pales in comparison to what is to come.
Amen. Amen.
John says, hey, this is good, but I can't even describe to you how good it's going to be. The best is yet to come. And then he begins in the next few verses to speak about the effect that God's love has on the life of a believer. I got right much preaching to do. Everybody okay? Well, here's why I came to preach this morning. We understand that God loves us. We understand that God's love is overwhelming and powerful and amazing and all of these things. But here's my question to you this morning. What's God's love do for us? What God's love ought to do for us? As a believer, the love of God should have an impact on your life in a practical and tangible way. If God really loves you so much that He has done the things described in these verses, you can't help but do something about that. I like what the old time preacher said. Something big as God move in on the inside of you, He's going to poke out somewhere.
Amen.
That's right.
What does God's love do for us? First of all, I want to say this, just to jump into it this morning. God's love ought to make sin undesirable.
Amen.
In verse 3 through 9, John lays out here The case for a desire for a sin-free life. Now I want you to notice something. I did not say the achievements of a sin-free life. But I'm going to tell you what I told them on the radio this morning. Here's what we say. We say, well, we're all sinners. I can't be perfect. And that's our crutch.
Yeah, right.
Well, I can't be perfect, so I guess I'll just do whatever I want to. And it not make no difference. Well, I can't be perfect, so I guess it don't matter. Now, look up in here. The pursuit of sinlessness is the path of a righteous person.
Amen.
God's love. If God loves you that much, you ought to not want to do anything that's going to hurt Him.
Amen.
You understand that sin, the transgression of God's law, grieves the very heart of God. Sin is what took Jesus to Calvary. Sin is what Jesus was looking at when He looked into that cup of the wrath of God in the Garden of Gethsemane and was so grieved that He said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Sin should be undesirable in our lives. In verse number 3, the Bible tells us that sin is overcome by purity. Look at verse number 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Can I tell you something, church? We're going to be here a while. Everybody okay? Can I tell you something, church? I am pure because of the blood of Christ.
That's right.
I'm pure in the eyes of God in a final sense. When it comes to the judgment of God, I will stand before Him unblemished because Jesus is unblemished. But that inner purity ought to inspire outer purity. Look what your Bible says. Every man that hath hope in Him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Say, preacher, I'm washed clean. My sins are washed away. Then why you got so many of them? Quiet. Preacher, my sins are covered by the blood. Then how come they're so visible? Something wrong somewhere. Sin is overcome by purity. When we lean in to what God has already done, we become a reflection of what He wants to do in our lives. Verse number 4, sin is defined simply, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So what is sin, preacher? Anything that God said don't do that you do, or anything that God said to do that you don't do. It's pretty simple. Sin is defined very simply. Verse number 5, sin is behaviorally in the category of anti-Christ. Look at what the Bible says. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. You say, preacher, I'm a Christian. You know what that word means? That means to be Christ-like. A literal translation of the word used for Christian in your Bible in the book of Acts is little Christ. Meaning that they were like many me. They were just like Him. Preacher, I'm a Christian. Well, how come you don't look like Christ? That ain't what He looked like. In Him was no sin. If you want to be on His team, hey, listen to me. Y'all try looking like Him. Sin, verse number 6, is avoidable. By stability. Look what your Bible says. This is so amazing. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Check this out. So how do I avoid sin in my life, preacher? Abide in Him. That word abide means to live in. To stay in. Get close and stay close. Stability. You know what will help you avoid sin in your life? If you wake up tomorrow morning and read your Bible and pray, instead of saying, well, it's Monday, and I got a lot of stuff to do. Every time you skip out on something that God has given you, you are creating instability in your life that will lead you to sin.
Amen.
It's real simple. How do I keep sin out of my life, preacher? Stay close to Jesus, because He ain't got none. Verse number 7, sin is recognizable by similarity. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. Hey, y'all. I'll tell you something. I got a whole lot more to preach, but I'm getting dug in right here.
Can I tell you something this morning? Say, preacher, how do you know somebody is a righteous person? Let me just say it like this. Everybody knows. Say, preacher, I ain't been living right, but I'm keeping it secret. No, you're not. No, you're not. Everybody knows. We can see you. He that is right, he that will be righteous is righteous. How do you tell a righteous man? Because he does righteous things.
How do you tell a good man? Because he does good things. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room. It's very simple. If you do right, you'll be right.
Amen.
That's practical preaching right there. I didn't come in here to teach you a theology 101, friend. I come in here to teach you what the Bible says. The Bible says he that doeth righteousness is righteous. How do you recognize a righteous man? Because he does righteous stuff.
That's right.
How do you recognize a wicked man? Because he does wicked stuff.
Amen.
The Bible says you'll know what kind of tree it is by the fruit. Verse number 8 through 10, sin is denounced explicitly. This is hard stuff right here. I'm going to just give you one line, verse number 8. All right, what you say, time out. Everybody look at me.
Because we got a misconception right here. Here's the misconception. Well, everybody sins, and sin's not that big a deal. You know, I'm saved. I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. Can we agree that 1 John, the first epistle of John the apostle of Jesus, is a part of the New Testament?
Yeah.
It's almost in the back. I'm pretty sure John was under grace. I'm pretty sure John was in the church age, just like we are. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, here's what he said. He
Verse number 8, that committeth sin is of the devil. Kind of hard to argue with that. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. John's drawing a clear line here now. He's saying, listen, there's two sides to this thing. There are those that openly and willfully commit sin, and then there are those that don't. One of them is the devil's crowd, and one of them is the Lord's crowd. Hey, listen, I'm saved by grace. Hallelujah for grace. Oh, listen to me now. That where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I thank God for it. But I'm about sick and tired of Christianity using them kind of verses to justify themselves. Living a wicked and sinful life. Out here showing an example of what it is to be a Christian. And then we wonder why people say, well, all them church people are just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, I wonder why. They're right. By their experience. You know what I've learned, pastoring, for all these years? Most of church people is just a bunch of hypocrites. Preach, preacher. Ain't nobody shouting now.
That's all right, Greg.
Look up in here. Listen, I'm not excluding myself from any of this. This ain't no pulpit to the pew, this everybody. There's been times in my life, Brother Dustin, when I've been on in that other crowd, in my saved life. You hear me? But you better learn how to recognize your condition based on your actions. You can't judge me based on what I do. Listen, you better read your Bible. The Bible says every man will stand before God and give an account of himself for things done in his body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Amen. You are judged on your works, whether you want to be or not. Amen. Not on your intent. Well, preacher, I want to do right. Well, do right. Preacher, I want to do better. Do better. Quit telling me. Show me. Don't talk about it. Friend, be about it. Dr. Bob J. Sr. said it like this. Do right if the stars fall. Do right. What you know why we don't have any standing in our communities in our day? It's because we do not have a reputation of righteousness in the people of God. We do not have a reputation of good works in the people of God. We're just like everybody else. But hear me now. Your Bible denounces sin. I could give you list after list after list after list after list. We could go through this all day long if that's what you wanted to do in your Old Testament, in your New Testament. I could name sin all day long. Murdering, adultery, drunkenness, reviling, lying, false witnessing, sexual immorality. We could go all day and all night on all of that. But hear me now. You got a Bible in your lap just like I do. You're without excuse. Just because your preacher don't read the list out every Sunday don't mean you ain't supposed to know. You know what I've learned? I've never met a sinner that didn't know what they were doing wrong.
Amen.
I've met a lot of them that didn't want to admit it.
Amen.
But I ain't never met one that didn't know it. Including the one standing before you today. The love of God ought to make sin undesirable in our life. God hates sin, church. God hates sin. It's that simple. So why don't God's people hate sin? The love of God ought to make our alliances clear. Look at verse number 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. By the way, I'm going to preach my thought in just a second, but that verse right there, verse number 14, that'll help you. A lot of people out here living in doubt because they've never learned how to love a group of God's people. The church will keep you straight if you'll let them. Listen to this. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Listen to me. There ought to be clarity in the character of a Christian. Notice God starts this whole passage off right here by calling out a specific man in a specific situation, that being Cain, as an example of what we should not be.
Say, preacher, you ought not to call somebody's name from the pulpit. Well, God does it all the time. Mm-hmm. How are you going to know who I'm talking about if I don't tell you?
Amen.
John, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says, hey, don't be like Cain, who killed his brother because he couldn't measure up.
Killed his brother out of jealousy. Don't be like him. And verse number 13 shows a differentiation that breeds dissension. Look at what it says. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. You know what? I've done preached on this morning. Y'all getting two barrels. Y'all telling you don't want me to go back and preach on that radio. Let me tell you something. The church has got to get over trying to imitate the world. It's never going to work. Church, the world is miserable already. What in the world are they going to do for us? We'll do anything. Listen, I'm so sick of the church. Our heroes are worldly. Everybody okay?
Amen.
Crank the car.
Listen, I'm sick of it, man. I'm sick of it. Let me be very clear. Let me just give you... Can I give you an example? It's okay if the preacher preaches an example that y'all can understand.
Preach.
Let me give you an example. Jelly Roll ain't got no business singing gospel music. Somebody will say amen right now. You like that, lump it, bump it, jump it, take it back to your house with you, run it over. It's the truth. Ain't got no business being the hero of a Christian person. I'm over it. We want the world's approval on God's work. Don't be surprised, John said, that the world hates you. You ain't like them.
Amen.
You're not with them. You're not going down with the ship. Heard somebody say about America the other day, here we are fiddling while Rome burns. The ship's going down and we're just watching it. And I thought to myself, my ship ain't going down, friend. Yours might. This world's might. America's might. Listen, I'm like this. I ain't looking for the undertaker, praise God. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm not looking toward what's coming this way. I'm looking toward what's coming from that way. And listen to me, my ship is not going down. Listen, it's not going to sink. It'll stand the test of time.
Amen.
Marvel not that the world hates you. We got to get over this mess.
Amen.
We got to get over it. Well, preacher, they just ain't going to think I'm cool. Well, first of all, you ain't cool. Nobody thinks that. Okay? Let's be for real here. Preacher, they just think, all these people ain't going to be my friends. They were never your friends.
Amen.
Trust me, you'll find out eventually.
You
know, I've learned at 35 years old, fixed to be 36, they ain't many friends. Thank God for the people in this room. Somebody will say amen right there.
Amen.
I'm hung up, but I'm going to preach.
Hey, listen, church. We will never win the world as long as we spend our time trying to emulate them.
That's right. Amen.
I said it before, I'll say it again. When I went looking for God, I was looking for something different than what I already had. Hey, listen. We've made celebrities out of the wicked, and then we wonder why the leadership of our churches are filled with wicked people, where they're just acting like the people that you like so much.
Yeah. Amen.
I could just preach this all day. Listen, the fact that you call yourself a Christian does not entitle you to a position of leadership in the church. We got churches out here. They got people in their pulpits giving speeches, motivational speeches. Everybody's clapping their hands for a bunch of NFL football players go home and beat their wife up when they get to the house.
Amen.
Let's just call it what it is. I mean, listen. If you get drunk on Saturday night, come to church on Sunday morning, you're supposed to be uncomfortable in the pews. You certainly ain't supposed to be comfortable behind the pulpit. Praise God. Help us. We celebrate immorality and then wonder why the church is filled with immoral people. I can't get off it. Hey, listen. There is a differentiation. You say, preacher, if you preach like that, you'll never have a thousand at church. That'd be all right. Let me go ahead and tell you, be real clear with you. When God put it in my heart to plant down East Baptist Church, there was no numbers crunched. You hear me? There was no membership plan for how many we was going to need to be able to run a certain kind of budget. You hear me? That's God's business.
That's right.
Help me, Lord. Verse 14 through 18 teaches truths concerning our love for the brethren. There's a lot here. I want you to see that our love for the brethren, that is, other Christians, is something that God specifically leans on, hammers on. Matter of fact, He ties it into our love for Him. He says, how can you love me whom you have not seen? You can't even love your brother whom you have seen.
Amen.
The fact is, our love toward God is a physical reflection. Our love towards God's people is a physical reflection of our love for God. And even if you say, preacher, I don't see it that way. Well, hold on a minute. God sees it that way. That's what He said, not what I said. He said, I'm going to know how much you love me by looking at how much you love the people that I put in your life, your brethren.
Right.
Say, preacher, I just don't see it that way. It don't matter. God sees it that way.
Right.
If you can't love God's people, then God, hey, listen, God's going to question your love for Him.
Amen.
That's not a good place to be. What I'm trying to say here is our alliances are clear. We are to love the people of God and the things of God and to disdain and distance ourselves from the things of this world. There is a clear delineation for a Christian. It's not hazy. It's not gray. There's no middle area. There's none of that. It's very simple. It's very simple. Our alliances are clear. Church, what are we aligned with? Who are we aligned with? What do we stand for? You know, some of y'all don't know this. So I'm going to tell you now so you'll be without excuse, because some of y'all clearly don't know this, but we have church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. 6 o'clock Sunday night, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Every week.
Amen.
Every week.
Mm-hmm.
We have church. Y'all, can't believe it? We have church on Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm here on Sunday night and Wednesday night.
Amen.
I'm here, standing right there. And you know what we've been doing on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Because I made a conscious decision that I was not going to beg people to go deeper. So I'm doing it on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Because if you're here on Sunday night and Wednesday night, it's because you want to be here.
Right.
You're not checking your I went to church card this week. This is, everybody's going to leave after this. Listen, Sunday nights, right now, we're teaching something called Bible chronology. Simply means an overview of Scripture across the timeline of history. We're about to, tonight, we're going to enter in to what's called the conquest stage. We're going to look at how Joshua and the nation of Israel conquered the promised land. Wednesday night, we're preaching through the Articles of Faith of Downey's Baptist Church. Basic doctrinal truths. I'm going somewhere with all this. Basic doctrinal truths. Say, preacher, how do I know who I'm aligned with? Some of you, it would be almost impossible for you to align your life with the things of God because you don't know nothing about it. How can you align yourself with God when you don't even know nothing about Him? How can you be righteous when you can't even define righteousness in a biblical sense? How can you do what God says is right when you ain't look at what God says about it? Quiet. That's all right. The love of God makes our alliances clear. Listen, you can't love God. Let me give you a verse here. Help you out with something. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a good verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world, church. Neither the things that are in the world. Why don't we do it like the world does it? Because we ain't them. They ain't us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of God and the love of this world cannot dwell in harmony. You have to pick a side. Make your alliances clear. Then I'll give you this and I'll be done. The love of God gives us confidence. Verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth. Remember that word, know. K-N-O-W, know. That we are of the truth and shall assure, there's another good word, assure our hearts before Him. Here's what He's saying. He said, hey, listen. By this measure, aligning ourselves with the things of God, we know that we are of the truth. That's good. Not we think. Not we want to be. I'm sick of this right here. How you doing? Well, preacher, I'm trying to do better. You can know that you're of the truth. Amen. Listen to this. And assure. You can rest assured. Our hearts before you. So how can we do that, preacher? Check this out. Say, but preacher, here's what we say. Preacher, I think, preacher, I feel like, listen, I've had 1,000 conversations that started with one of them phrases. Well, I just think, I just feel like, look right here in verse number 20. For if our heart condemn us, you ever felt like, some of y'all feeling like this right now, you ever felt like, I am just not good at this, I'm terrible, I'm the worst Christian in the whole wide world, God, why would God want anything to do with me, I'm a piece of trash, I'm talking about your heart condemns you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? I feel like that a lot of times.
Amen.
I've messed up now. God ain't going to use me no more. For if our hearts condemn us, look at this, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Not only is God greater than our heart, He already knows. Did you know that the sin that you will commit next week, God already knew about when He sent Jesus to die for your sins on Calvary? Think about that now. God knew exactly who you were, where you were, what you was going to do and what you weren't going to do, yet He still saved you. God is greater than our heart. You say, preacher, I just feel like I've messed up so bad. Well, I'm thankful I ain't saved on feelings. I'm saved by the Holy Ghost of God. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it don't matter what you feel like. That does not change. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ the Savior.
same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Don't matter how you feel about it. Don't matter what you think about it. When we can't count on our own hearts, we can count on God.
Amen.
We have confidence in God's response. Look at this, verse number 22. Well, let's back up to verse number 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. You have to get off your heart. Get on God.
Right.
Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Problem a lot of us got is we're too busy looking at us instead of looking at God. But check this out. And whatsoever we ask. Now this is, let me give you some, get the context here. Here's what John's saying. He's saying, if you get off of you, get your eyes on the Lord, let your heart do what it does, set that aside, and focus on God, then you're going to fall in this category. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. As long as we maintain pursuit of God, He will make sure that there is nothing that we need and don't have. The Bible says, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I'm telling you right now, if you'll maintain a pursuit of Jesus, what you're going to find out is you won't go without. The only way we can undermine the flow of God's blessings in our lives is to turn ourselves away from Him. What do you mean, preacher?
Let me do it like this. God said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee.
That's right.
Jesus said that. Here's what Jesus said. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. The beautiful thing about God is He's steady. He doesn't turn away from us. Only Amen. We turn away from Him.
Amen.
The only way to undermine what God's trying to do in your life is for you to turn away from Him, because He's never going to turn away from you. Jesus went into a certain town. I'm done. Jesus went into a certain town. One of the scariest verses in Scripture. Into his hometown. And here's how the Bible describes his experience there. The Bible says he could not there do many wonderful works because of their unbelief. The only way you can stifle the power of God is by unbelief.
By an unwillingness to submit to Him. But even when you turn away from Him, hear me, church, we can still have confidence in Him, because He loves us too much to turn away.
Some of you may say, preacher, all this stuff you're preaching this morning, stepping all on my toes and all this stuff, and I've turned. Got good news. Turn again. Turn again. The love of God compels us to confidence. I am not confident because I love God. I'm confident because of how He loves me.
Amen.
Why don't you stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Every head's bowed, every eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. I don't have no idea what the Lord spoke to you about today. Here's what I know. He promised us His word would not return void. I'm going to ask you this question. Would there be one in here, say, preacher, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Never been a time in my life when I've trusted Christ as my Savior. pray for me. I don't want to go to hell. Would you lift that hand, preacher? Pray for me. I'm just not sure. Just don't know for sure I'm saved. What about this? Just between me and you and the Lord. Nobody's looking around. This is serious business. God's people are praying. Just between me and you and God, I wonder if there'd be one in here. By an uplifted hand, let me just say, preacher, the message was for me. God dealt with my heart. I see that hand. You can put that back down. I see those hands. God dealt with my heart this morning. The altar's open. Why don't you come? I don't know what's on your heart, what's on your mind. I don't know what God spoke to you about, what you need to speak to Him about. But I know there's a place for you to do so. You'll not be alone. Come with these that are coming. Change us by your power. Continue to work in our lives in this church. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you. See you tonight, 6 o'clock. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.